to commit himself to such a major restoration project. The house needed a lot of work to make it habitable. Even though the investment would probably pay off in the long term, he had realized the initial outlay would be punitive. His reservations, however, had been mitigated by the airy room on the top floor that he instantly recognized as a potential studio. It was perfect. He had seen at once where everything would fit: the guts of an old piano, the mixing desk, the VCS3, the tape recorders. He had imagined himself seated within a horseshoe arrangement of equipment, working on new compositions and pausing to enjoy the view over the treetops. After Petrakis had finished showing them around, Christopher asked him why the house was in such a dilapidated state.
"It hasn't been lived in for years," Petrakis replied. "Developers acquired the property in the 60s. They wanted to knock it down and build a block of flats, but the local residents objected and planning permission was refused. The company had a large portfolio, too large actually, and they forgot about this place. As you know, many businesses have been struggling. The company went bankrupt in January. There was a lot of legal wrangling, and eventually the receivers were called in."
Christopher and the estate agent talked for a little while longer, but eventually their conversation stalled.
"I'm just going outside for a cigarette," said Petrakis.
He had sensed that the couple wanted to be alone.
"Have another look around. Take your time. I'm in no hurry."
Laura was standing by the French windows, leaning backwards and pushing the tight, unusually rounded bulge of her stomach forward. She pressed the base of her spine with both hands. It was curious, Christopher thought, how pregnancy hadn't really affected her figure. She was just the same as before, lithe, supple, the only difference being the odd ball-like distension. Christopher walked over to her and kissed her on the lips.
"Well," he asked, "what do you think?"
Laura smiled.
"It's amazing, but..."
"What?"
"How long would it be before we could move in?"
"I don't know. A while."
"6 months?"
"I don't know. Maybe more. We can manage until then, can't we?"
"Yes, I suppose so."
Laura turned away from him and looked through the grimy French windows into the rear garden, which was a jungle of apple trees, bushes and weeds, encircled by a high wall. The original landscaping was buried beneath the overgrowth, but an open space, roughly in the middle, might have once been a lawn. At the far end of the garden was a dilapidated gazebo.
"I expect you've already chosen the nursery," said Christopher.
Laura glanced over her shoulder.
"Of course, the room with the striped wallpaper."
Christopher went over to the fireplace and examined the maculated red marble surround. Even the corbels had been carefully crafted. They were shaped like waves and decorated with a scallop shell relief. Many of Christopher's friends had had their old fireplaces ripped out because they considered them to be too fussy, too ugly, too ostentatious. Victorian excesses didn't go well with plain brown walls, white curtains, and the compulsory acreage of shag-pile carpet. Christopher's modernism rarely accompanied him out of the studio. He didn't like the cold uniformity of contemporary design. He found it soulless. Suddenly his thoughts were interrupted by the sound of Laura gasping, an intake of breath that signaled surprise. He looked across the room and saw her cautiously approaching the French windows.
"What is it?" he asked.
Laura removed a layer of dirt from the glass with her sleeve, creating an arc of improved visibility.
"Laura, what is it?"
Christopher repeated. She met his concerned gaze with a puzzled expression.
"I thought I saw something."
"What? An animal?"
"No, it was nothing."
She suddenly appeared embarrassed.
"I was mistaken."
"Shall I get Petrakis?"
"Whatever for?"
Christopher realized he was still reacting to her initial alarm. He moved to her side and surveyed the green expanse.
It could have been a fox.